We want to talk about fathers this morning. That whole area of fatherhood needs to be spoken about, because if there's one epidemic that's happening in the world today, it's an epidemic of fatherlessness. And we need to celebrate the importance of fatherhood. And I know a lot of times we can go back every once in a while and think probably of our dads, and sometimes we often don't realize probably the influence that they have had in our lives, but it's a tremendous influence, and I believe that it's more than a physical influence, is actually a spiritual influence. And within the last couple of weeks, I was thinking of my dad, and I was thinking, you know, this is the thought that came to my mind. I thought, you know, I'd just love to have you here to give you a hug, just to hug you. And I think sometimes when we think of our fathers, sometimes we can remember some of the things that weren't right, some of the things that were wrong, some of the things that they're the imperfections of our fathers, and you know, no father on earth is perfect. We realize that, and as we go through life, we begin to understand some things that will try to help us, I think, have an appreciation for fathers in a way that probably we wouldn't when we were younger. As I said, they're not perfect. They never were. I was thinking this morning, just as we were worshiping here this morning, I was thinking of a time when my brother and I were going back into this is a long time ago. We were going back into the woods to cut wood with my dad, and we were going back in a horse and bobsled. And the horse was trotting along pretty good and along the road, and my brother and I were goofing around in the back. And sometimes, I don't ever remember Dad ever laying a hand on me and with any of the kids, but all he had to do was kind of look at us. We kind of knew that, you know, to straighten out. And this particular time, my brother and I were goofing around in the back bobsled, and the sleigh was kind of going all over the place, and Dad wasn't paying much attention. He was looking straight ahead, and after a while, I don't know what we were doing, but he turned around and he said, "You guys," or he told us to get it together and to get up here. I guess he told me to get up there with him, because he figured if there was only one back there, it wouldn't be causing much trouble. So I went up and sat in the front bunk with him. I looked back, and my brother was still goofing around back there, and he was goofing around in some way, and he got himself caught between the two bobsleds, and his rear end was dragging on the ground, and he was hanging around. And all I can see is I still remember him. I look back and see what would happen. All he's saying, "Don't tell Dad, don't tell Dad." I thought, what's going to happen? And I just thought, well, I'm not telling him then. And all of a sudden, there was a stump or something that he hooked, and that bobsled went up and over him. And everything happened so fast that my dad stopped the horse. He knew something was wrong. And by the time he got that horse stopped, my brother was sitting in that front back of the bobsled, just looking just as innocent as anything. He moved pretty quick. He took quite a heist out of it. But our fathers have played such a major role in our lives, whether we realize it or not. And as we talk about some things this morning, I hope you leave here with a greater appreciation of some of the aspects of fatherhood. A friend of mine said to me recently who didn't have a great father, and he had a lot of difficult times with him, but he said, you know, there's one thing I remember him saying to me that I never forgot. And he said to me one time, he said, "Whatever you get involved in, whatever you decide to get involved in, you're invited to get involved in, and you actually, yes, say, I will be involved in this." He said one thing, he said, "Make sure that you contribute, you do your part." And he said, I never forgot that. And he lived that throughout his life. And I think that's a good word. There's some things that Dad will say sometimes will stick with us. And there may also be not only things that they say, but things that they do, a specific time in their lives that you can remember that it left an impression upon you. That impression upon you is often not just in the physical, but also in the spiritual. It left a mark. It kind of helped you chart your course to where you are today. So let's read a few scriptures concerning fatherhood, as Jesus even talked about the Father. Look at Jesus this morning as your elder brother, because the Bible says he's our elder brother. So that means if he's our elder brother, then we have the same father. The scripture that Jesus said to Mary, I believe it was, at the tomb when he was raised from the dead, he said, tell the disciples, I'm going to your God and my God, to your father and my father. He was bringing us all together under one fatherhood. Jesus is still doing that today. John 6:44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. No matter where we are in life, if we have any inclination about Jesus Christ and about all that he's done for us, and we start thinking about him, we know it's the Father being involved, drawing us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John 14:6, it said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. No one, there's no individual that comes to the Father except by me. In other words, the Father is drawing them to Jesus because Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way, but the Father is the destination. Jesus is the way. That's why the Father draws people to Jesus, because Jesus is going to point them again to the Father. Our journey here in life is one of desiring and pursuing the heart of the Father, because the Father is everything. The Father, without the Father, we have no identity. Who are we if we don't have an understanding of who our Father is, our Heavenly Father, but also our earthly Father? And that's one of the things we'll mention a little later as we go on about some of the things that Jesus said about the Father. One of the things that if we were to look back, even back when the children of Israel were being brought out of the land of Egypt, when the first Passover took place, the scripture tells us that the Father was to take the sacrificial lamb representing the Lord Jesus Christ when he would die for the sins of all men, that the Father was to take the blood and put it over the doorposts of the house so that the death angel could not go in. It was the Father who was taking the blood out of the basin, and that would protect the children and protect anybody who was in the house from the death angel. And I believe today that it's still the Father's position to apply the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to his family. It's still the Father's position to declare that his children belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, making declarations over them. And I say fathers, but grandfathers as well. It's our position to declare and hold our position against the enemy's attacks against our family, so that they will have the best possible influence to come into their lives to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. They all have to make the decision for themselves, but on the other hand, we can do some things to make that decision more likely that they're going to accept Jesus, that they'll have the opportunity to do this. And one of the things that when we think of our Heavenly Father, we think about honoring him. But listen to what God says in Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. As a man honors his father, and a servant his master, this is God speaking now, true to prophet Malachi, if then I am your father, God is saying, where is my honor? Because they weren't honoring him. They weren't showing him honor at all. They had turned away from his practices. They would bring sacrifices that were lame, and there were animals that nobody wanted anyway. They would just bring him the dregs of life. They would bring him things that it didn't mean anything to them. It was no sacrifice at all to them. They wouldn't bring their tithes and offerings to God. And he says, where is my honor? If I'm your God, which you say I am, then where is my honor? You'll remember when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, they really looked at themselves as being a special people, because they always said that God was their father. Well, God was saying that if I'm your father and you say I am your father, then where is my honor? And so if we are to honor God, that should also tell us that we can also dishonor him. There's things that that can take place that will cause us to dishonor our Heavenly Father. I think mankind is dishonoring our Heavenly Father in many, many ways today. There's many things that are happening today that is out of sync of the way we have been created. There's many things that are being promoted today that are out of sync with the way God has designed you and I to live. And that's bringing dishonor to our Father God. Now, honoring has a lot to do with whether we'll live long, whether we'll be happy or not, whether things will go well with us. Ephesians 6:1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise." Do you realize, if you don't know any other promise in Scripture, you should know this one. Children, honor and obey your parents in the Lord, for this is the first promise. This is the first commandment with a blessing. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So by honoring our parents, God is saying you must do this in order for things to go well with you and that you would live long on the earth. So what happens if you don't dishonor, or pardon me, if you do not honor your parents? Well, most likely you can't hold on to those promises. You can't say, "Well, Lord, you promised me a blessing upon the earth and that live life long upon the earth." He said that would happen if we honored our parents. So on the converse, if we don't honor our parents, then we don't have the right to be able to claim that particular promise. You know, when it comes to the promises of God, there's this aspect of God's side of the promise and this aspect of man's side of the promise. And if we'll live on God, if we'll obey God and do the things that he has said, then we'll be able to experience the promise. A good one is in Malachi, again, chapter 3:10, where the Bible says that we are to bring our tithes into the storehouse. And then the Bible says that God will rebuke the devourer on our behalf if we bring the tithe in. Well, what happens if we don't bring the tithe? Well, God's not going to rebuke the devourer. It's as simple as that. There's a man side of things and there's a God side of things. Let me read that again, Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you live long on the earth. Again, this is a mandate of fatherhood, is to train our children up in the things of the Lord. Train our children up in the ways of the Lord. Help them to understand the ways of the Lord. And one of the best ways that we can do that is to be an example to them. They will basically be mostly influenced by the way we act rather than what we say. Have you ever noticed that? They'll pick up on that every time, and the way we act and what we say. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it's the first commandment with a promise that things will go well with you and that you live long on the earth. Samson was a man who was mightily anointed of God. The blessing of God was upon his life. But it seemed like he did not seem to honor that. He did not, if we read through the book of Judges, read about the story of Samson, we would read there about how he was to be separated from God. He was to live a life of a Nazarite. And the Nazarites there were certain vows that they were supposed to do. He was never to cut his hair. He was never to drink strong drink. He was never to go near a dead body. These were things that would set him apart. But if we read through the scriptures, we realize that Samson did not adhere to the vows that were made. In that day, it was a terribly dishonoring thing to marry outside the Hebrews, Hebrew people. And Samson, he went down to the village and he found himself a Philistine that he wanted to marry. And the story is found in Judges chapter 14. It says there in Judges 14:3, "Then his father and mother said to him," because Samson had said, "I want you to get me this particular woman to marry." "And they said to him, 'Is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?' Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she pleases me well." So here, this would be very dishonoring to Samson's parents if they were to marry even into the tribe of the enemy, their enemy. It was dishonoring to him. Now think about this. Honor your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it's the first commandment with a promise that things might go well with you and that you live long on the earth. Don't forget that. Here's Samson. He's dishonoring first his father because of some of the Father God, because of some of the things that he did, but also now he's dishonoring his parents, his father, by marrying outside his people, marrying into the camp of the enemy. It was very dishonoring to him. Now, if you know the story about Samson, you know that things didn't go well with him, and he didn't live a long life upon the earth. He didn't reap the promise that he could have reaped had he walked in holiness before his heavenly father, but also his earthly father as well. And we know the story that the Philistines caught him and plucked out his eyes, and he was killed as he continued to fight the Philistines. This is sad. It's a very, very sad story when you think of it, because things could have shifted around so much, could have been so different. And if you read the story of Samson, you'll realize that everything that happened to him basically was a result of some of his actions, some of the things that he did. Now, God used him in some of the situations that he was involved in order to free the Hebrews from the dominion of the Philistines, but had Samson walked in the vows that he had taken as a Nazarite, if he had honored God, it could have turned out so differently. He could have lived long upon the earth. He could have been blessed in his own personal life upon the earth. But yet, he did some things that were very, very dishonoring to both his earthly father and his heavenly father. And the story was very tragic. One of the things that we know in Scripture, when we think about when God created man, it's okay to say mankind here, is it? Yes. When God created man, he created Adam, the first man. So we see here that Adam was the foundation of mankind. And when the foundation is laid on anything, there are things that are built after that. When you look at that, man is the foundation of mankind. In any kind of foundation that is built today, usually the best part that we want to look at is built after the foundation. Often the foundation is underground even, that you don't even see it. And if you're building a house, but what's up there, what you put on top of the foundation is what you get to look at, what you get to enjoy. And so mankind being the foundation, we see later on woman was taken out of man. And how many of us know that we much more rather look at a woman than a man, usually, as fathers today? That man's place or the father's place in the home is the very foundation of the home. It's so crucial that their position be recognized and that the man of the house is honoring that position of fatherhood.